Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as you just said, we are apprentices of Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul says we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ is making his will and his work plain through us. Most of us have become secret agents who have not blown our cover before the unregenerate world. It is time for us to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ in earnest. There's never been a more significant time for the salt to exercise its capacity for transformation. And that is why we're asking people to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. We are very, very close to the end of our fiscal year. If you can support the ministry, it would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of his kingdom. We'll be talking about that a little later on in the broadcast. Right now, we'll go to our callers. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web is always equip.org via the mail, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. First up today, Bill, listening in Jackson, Michigan. Hi, Bill.
Hi. My question is simply, how do we know, I know this for a fact, but it's about my daughter. So how do we know, or how can I explain to her that the Bible was translated accurately from one language to another?
Yeah, I don't think that there was any question whatsoever with respect to the Old Testament. The tedious process of hand copying an Old Testament manuscript letter by letter was done by what were called sophers. And they were literally counters. You had to tally the words and the letters to make sure that nothing was amiss. And you had to always remain aware of the middle letter, of the middle word of a manuscript, so as to have an enduring reference point by which to make certain that not a jot was found missing. So there was a very tedious, strenuous template in place for translation in the Old Testament. And so there's never been in scholarship much question that we have an accurate rendition of the Old Testament. And I think the same thing is new with respect to the New Testament. The wisdom of God is evident through the way he protected the text from the one thing we centuries and even millennia later could never detect, and that is wholesale change of doctrine. And this was the way in which the New Testament books were translated. They were written at various times, that they were quickly copied and distributed, and there was never a time when anyone or any group could gather up the manuscripts and make extensive changes in the text itself. So by the time anyone did obtain great ecclesiastical power in the name of Christianity, the texts were already buried in the sands of time and out of reach of any attempted alteration. And so we can have great certainty that God has supernaturally preserved his word in both the Old and the New Testament. And you have to also remember that the Bible is perhaps, in fact, I think indeed, the most scrutinized book in the history of humanity. It has been translated into more languages than any book. It has been copied more times. I mean, there are the manuscript attestation for the New Testament is absolutely overwhelming. Some 6,000 manuscripts just in the Greek. So I don't think that anyone doing the research would have any doubt whatsoever that you can trust the biblical manuscripts. Here's another point, though. You know, even outside of the Bible itself, if you took just the extra biblical attestation, you can actually have all the highlights of the life of Christ without the manuscripts of the Bible itself, attested by historians like Tacitus, Josephus, and many others.
Right. Okay. And I appreciate it. I will attempt to explain that to her.
Sure. You know, I wrote a book about this. I actually wrote a book about this. It's titled Has God Spoken? And in the first section of that book, I use an acronym. It's the acronym COPY so that you can remember exactly how the progression goes in demonstrating the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin, and that we can trust the translations that we have in hand today.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jeremy next, listening in Wilson, North Carolina, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Hank, how's everything going? I was listening to the radio yesterday, and I heard you guys talking on the subject of the Great Tribulation. And you said that there was a Great Tribulation in the Old Testament, but I wondered how could that be so? Because when in Matthew 24:21, he says, there shall be great tribulation that such as has never been since the beginning of the world through the time, no more shall ever be. So,
yeah, Jesus, of course, was using hyperbole in making that statement. What could be greater than the flood in which all but 8 people died? So Jesus is using prophetic hyperbole here, but there's no question whatsoever that there was an Old Testament tribulation of 7 years under the Old Testament Antichrist Antiochus IV Epiphanes. No one doubts that whatsoever. In fact, Hanukkah celebrations will forever ensure that people remember the Old Testament Antichrist and how freedom was obtained through the efforts of Judas Maccabeus and his cohorts, and thus the temple was desecrated, but it was not manifestly destroyed. So there's no question whatsoever that there's an Old Testament 7-year tribulation. Now, Jesus actually points back to that in the Olivet Discourse. He says, so when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand, and then goes on to talk about a coming tribulation. And that tribulation was prophesied in such a way that we had time parameters. It couldn't have been 100 years later or 200 years later or even within the next few years. Jesus said, this generation will not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled. So within a generation, what Jesus had prophesied would happen actually took place. The very edifice that gave the Jews their identity from a sociological and a spiritual standpoint was manifestly not just desecrated, but absolutely destroyed. So Jesus made the prophecy in the Olivet Discourse, and it was fulfilled just as Jesus said it would be fulfilled.
Now, I also want to go on this because, of course, during the Great Tribulation, we know that the Antichrist is going to take reign over the whole world and all kindreds and tongues, according to Revelation 13:7. But if you go to Revelation 7...
Well, remember, though, just a second, I mean, just so you understand what you're talking about here, when you go to Revelation chapter 13, we're mm-hmm. talking not about the Antichrist in terms of that term. We're talking about a beast, and what John says there is that with wisdom and understanding, you would be able to identify the number of the beast and the number of his name. Now, remember, He's talking to a first century audience and telling them that you, with wisdom, with understanding, will be able to identify the beast that is warring against the Lamb. That beast, by the way, is a parody of the Lamb. He can parody what Christ does, but he can't do what the Lamb does. So in that text there, you have a first century beast. Now, you can call that beast an antichrist, but what John makes clear in his epistles is that anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is antichrist. And from that perspective, antichrist is any institution, any individual that denies Jesus Christ in the flesh. And that means that antichrist can be a person in any epoch of time, and certainly many antichrists have come, as John made plain.
Okay, and one last thing, and I got to go quick with it, but he says that particular beast is going to call all people to receive a mark in their right hand or forehead, and that they won't be able to bow down. But if we go to Revelation 7 and 8, John the Revelator was speaking with the angel, and he said, "Who are these arrayed in white?" And then John answered and said, "Thou knowest." And he said, "These are they who have come out of great tribulation." So this is indeed, he's actually being very specific, right?
Right, but he's not talking about something that's happening in our epoch of time. He's talking about something that's happening in that epoch of time. And when he talks about the mark on the forehead, remember that you have to always read Scripture in light of Scripture. The mark, very plainly, if contextualized by the Old Testament teaching, is a mark on the hand and the forehead. And there's a reason for that, because what you do is symbolized by your hand, and what you think or your worldview symbolized by the forehead. So what you think or what you do identifies you in terms of who you belong to. So there's no visible mark that is necessary. Certainly, if you think of yourself, Jeremy, you quite frankly and evidently are a follower of Jesus Christ. No mark needed. Someone immediately can sniff you out by what you do and your worldview. So the mark is not a physical mark. The mark is being marked by either Christ or being marked by Antichrist. So if you look at those who are marked by Christ, they have the name of God written on their foreheads, the text says. The number 144,000 written on their foreheads. Now, obviously, Jesus didn't have a magic marker in mind. So the mark of the beast and the mark of the Lamb, you're marked by what you do and your worldview. Let me leave it at that. I've written about that in a book called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible says about the end times and why it matters today. And Apocalypse Code really is about learning to read the Bible for all it's worth, or mine it for all its wealth. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Matthew in Kansas City, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yep, I sure can.
Well. Very well. Yes, I have a question. It's a pretty simple, straightforward question. I'm not sure how simple and straightforward it is to answer. I was speaking with a friend of mine, he's an atheist, and he brought up the subject of slavery in the Old Testament, and his conjecture was that God was pro-slavery, and the God of the Old Testament was pro-slavery. And, of course, I don't believe that, but to be honest, I did not know how to necessarily use a proper apologetic on addressing the subject of slavery in the Old Testament, particularly as it dealt with Israel.
Yeah.
Sure.
You have to remember that the Bible is descriptive but not always prescriptive, which is to say that the Bible does not airbrush anything. It gives us history with all its warts and moles and wrinkles. And so certainly there was slavery in the Old Testament, just as there was polygamy in the Old Testament. But this is not something that God designed. This is an aberration. For example, with respect to polygamy, the Bible is very clear, Deuteronomy 17, 17, you must not multiply wives. And all the prescriptive passages are very clear about one man and one woman, not plural, but always singular. One man, one woman. The same thing is true with respect to slavery. If you look through the very clear teaching passages with respect to slavery, you would look at passages like 1 Timothy 1:10, which puts slave traders in the same category as murderers, adulterers, perverts, and liars. And ultimately, it was the application of biblical principles that led to the overthrow of slavery. All humans are created in the Imago Dei and therefore have immense worth from a biblical perspective. And that's why Paul said, in Christ, there's neither slave nor free, male nor female, Jew nor Greek. I have to leave it at that. I wrote about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, one of the entries on slavery. You can find it there. I've also written about that in Has God Spoken? We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
June is a key month for the Christian Research Institute. It determines how well we end the financial year and what our strength or weakness will be going into a new fiscal year. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI or make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. As homosexuality becomes accepted within the culture, more Christian families are hearing a loved one say, "I'm gay, I've accepted it, I intend to live it out." Joe Dallas offers scriptural and compassionate counsel for dealing with the many questions and strong emotions that arise from this perplexing and unexpected situation. Other topics include the gospel according to Marvel Comics, Buddhism through the filter of Sam Harris, witnessing to the messianic fulfillment of the Day of Atonement, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. New atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical. But we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Did God really command genocide in the Old Testament? Would a kind and loving God ever command the wholesale slaughter of nations? We often avoid reading difficult Old Testament passages that make us squeamish, and quickly jump to the enemy-loving, forgiving Jesus of the New Testament. And yet, the question remains. In their book, Did God Really Command Genocide?, Doctors Paul Copan and Matthew Flanagan tackle some of the most confusing and uncomfortable passages of Scripture. Together, they help the Christian and non-believer alike understand the implications of Old Testament warfare passages, as well as address the arguments of atheists who use divine violence in the Bible to undermine belief in God. Call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches and receive Did God Really Command Genocide? Go online at equip.org. www.christianresearch.org. Truth is under siege from a vast array of militant anti-Christian secularists. But when you and others stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute, we're able to equip countless believers to join in the good fight. Soldiers are helpless without the right arms. So are key battles often won or lost based on something as simple yet crucial as supplies. Stand with the Christian Research Institute and Bible Answer Man broadcast during the key month of June to ensure that CRI's supply lines remain open. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Now here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to spend a little time talking to the Executive Vice President and Chief Advancement Officer of the Christian Research Institute. His name is Dr. Larry Johnston. We've been friends for 35 years, and we have traveled the world together. And one of the things we've both witnessed around the world is the proliferation of cults. We were in China recently. We were talking to a missionary who, since 2010, he and his mission team in the north of China have led some 27,000 people to faith in Christ. That's the good news. The bad news is these people, oftentimes who are new converts, are one unanswered prayer from reverting to animism or Buddhism or ancestor worship. Worse yet, the cults are well-funded, and they're willing to do for a lie what Christians oftentimes are not willing to do for the truth. So people come to faith in Christ, and the cults are ready to snare them. They are not in any way constrained by Christian ethics. They can use sexual manipulation. They can use scripture twisting, and oftentimes they are better financed than the Christian church is. And as a result of that, again, many who have just come to faith in Christ become dupes, as it were, for the devil. And this is one of the reasons that we have been very committed to a going global strategy. And in that strategy, we are determined to put arms in the hands of missionaries. And what I mean is give them weapons so that they can adequately deal with the kingdom of the cults all over the world. This is a very strategic endeavor, but it is most necessary, and now is the time. And it's one of the reasons, Larry, that we're asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach around the world in the battle for life and truth.
As you will recall, Hank, one of the statements that moved me deeply when we were in China was that one half of 1% of the leaders of the house churches in China that represent millions of Christians, one half of 1% of the leaders have any seminary training. Here in the United States, we have a glorious glut of resources. Over there, they have precious little. And I think so often, not only in China, but of Latin America and Africa, many of these believers are like the Peshmerga troops in the Middle East. They are willing to fight. What they are asking from the West is the assistance needed to make it a fair fight. They cannot go up against ISIS totally outgunned. So what partners of CRI are making possible is the provision of arms, to use a relevant metaphor, to help people who are willing to stand for the truth but utterly ill-equipped to do so, this gives them the arms that they need.
And again, this is one of the reasons we're asking people to stand with us at the end of our fiscal year, one of the most important months in our calendar.
The clock is ticking. We have 4 days left, and the good news is that we are inching our way toward the goal. What we need is to get beyond the inches to some feet. We need a surge coming in the final stretch. So if we have people out there listening who have not yet stood as partners with CRI, we cordially invite you to make that first gift. Get out of the bleachers, get into the game. If you are one of the 52% of CRI donors who make only one gift a year, consider making another single gift. If you did just that, if one out of four people who make only one gift a year made one gift in the next 4 days, we would be cruising into the new fiscal year in a position of strength. And if you are someone who has given periodically to CRI, we love the fact that you are for CRI, so to speak, but I would encourage you to consider someone who would stand with us on a regular basis by becoming a part of the CRI support team and to let us know that you are not merely for us, you are with us.
When we talk about resources, I think that there's always that possibility of being misunderstood. I mean, we so often say the gospel's phrase, someone has to put in the plumbing. We're not asking people to give to us, but we're asking people to give through us. But all of that can be misunderstood. We're not talking ultimately about resources for the sake of resources, but resources for the sake of the kingdom.
Our concern for resources is 100% instrumental, meaning we need resources to continue the work of CRI on multiple fronts, not only the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, the wealth of information and resources that are available globally through the website. This is all about being a conduit of concern for people who are listening now, who see the demise of many spiritual indicators in the West, also see the explosive growth of Christianity in the South. Here is an opportunity to express your concern to equip those people who are potential world changers with the resources that they need. So we're not asking people to give to CRI, but through CRI to equip people to be kingdom agents of change.
Talking to Dr. Larry Johnston, he's Executive Vice President and Chief Advancement Officer for the Christian Research Institute. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. You mentioned the journal. The Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine. If someone went to the web and took a look at it, it's not a mimeograph stapled together kind of a magazine. This is excellence in presentation, excellence in content, and the excellence is enduring, which is to say that articles that we write for the Christian Research Journal, it's not like yesterday's news. I mean, you can use an article in the Christian Research Journal today, tomorrow, oftentimes 10 years from now. These are very significant cutting-edge issues, but many of the issues we deal with are timeless. Same-sex marriage, classic case in point.
Yeah, and the beauty of the journal, one of my favorite quotes regarding knowledge and learning, the poet William Butler Yeats said that true education is not the filling of a pail, but the lighting of a fire. And because the journal reflects some of the best thinkers and scholars in their respective fields, people are provided not only with information, but also with inspiration and increasingly the ability to think critically about issues today that are shaping our culture and the future of our planet.
Many magazines have closed their doors. We are not only not closing the door with respect to our publications, but we're opening them wider.
And we were looking just the other day at a vision for the future of the journal that will hopefully in the next 10 years not only see the journal greatly expanded in terms of its reach and impact, but also have versions of the journal in Spanish and in Mandarin.
You are particularly interested in these two languages for a good reason. A lot of people from the perspective of America see the world just from that vantage point, failing to recognize the strategic significance of a language like Spanish or Mandarin.
Well, Mandarin is the largest native language in the world. Few people would recognize that Spanish is the second largest native language in the world, meaning that there are more native-born Spanish speakers in the world than there are native-born English speakers. More people speak English because it's a language of commerce, a language of business, a language of science. But our ability to take the best of CRI materials and translate them into Mandarin and Spanish, as we've already begun to do, means that we will take tens of millions of Christians that will now have accessible journal resources and CRI resources in their mother tongue.
We're asking people once again to stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. We talk about both. The importance, of course, is self-evident on one hand, but oftentimes missed. Sometimes you can get so infatuated with truth that you forget life.
Well, one of the characters in a great Russian novel put it this way. He said that if there is no God, everything is permissible. If the truth of the reality of God, a holy, life-giving, sovereign judge, if God is out of the picture, everything is permissible, as we can see, not only in just the last century, a mere blink in geological time, where 70 million people perished as a result of bad ideas. We can look to the killing fields. We can look to the Stalin purges. Truth matters not merely intellectually, but when truth dies, life is at risk.
Again, we are talking about the importance of life and truth. And if you read the Bible, the first thing that comes to mind is the words of Jesus Christ, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And then the words of Apostle Paul, who said to his young protege, Timothy, "Watch your life and doctrine, closely persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers." We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember to give in a safe, secure fashion. You need go no farther than the web at equip.org/donate. And please consider becoming a CRI support team member. We have had almost 70 this month that have become CRI support team members, for which we are deeply grateful and give God the glory. Back in just a few moments.
More than half of Christian Research Institute donors make only one gift each year to CRI. If each of those donors made only one more gift to CRI this month, it would mean an additional $926,577 to equip those who look to us daily for help. An absolute game changer. Please call 888-7000-CRI to make a gift of support. That's 888-7000-CRI, or you can give online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Did God really command genocide in the Old Testament? Would a kind and loving God ever command the wholesale slaughter of nations? We often avoid reading difficult Old Testament passages that make us squeamish and quickly jump to the enemy-loving, forgiving Jesus of the New Testament. And yet, the question remains. In their book, Did God Really Command Genocide? Doctors Paul Copan and Matthew Flanagan tackle some of the most confusing and uncomfortable passages of Scripture. Together, they help the Christian and non-believer alike understand the implications of Old Testament warfare passages, as well as address the arguments of atheists who use divine violence in the Bible to undermine belief in God. Call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches and receive Did God Really Command Genocide? Go online at equip.org. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In recent years, interest in superheroes has soared, driven largely by the red-hot Marvel Comics characters such as Spider-Man, Iron Man, the X-Men, and the Avengers. This cultural phenomenon suggests that Marvel's unique approach to envisioning heroism is feeding some sort of spiritual hunger. What lessons can we learn from Marvel? Other topics include when someone you love says, "I'm gay," best friends first, honoring God in dating and romance, the debate over defining inerrancy, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. The Nazis initially appeared to be the likely conquerors, but Soviets, mustering courage and resolve, emerged victorious. Truth is, both men and materials played a crucial role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. The Christian Research Institute likewise needs people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with us during this key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. I'm in studio today with Dr. Larry Johnson. He's Executive Vice President, Chief Advancement Officer for the Christian Research Institute. And we're going to go right to your calls. Once again, Savannah in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, listening on KAYH. Hi, Savannah.
Hello. I basically just wanted to ask you if you knew anybody that had an addiction. The reason being because I have a husband that has an addiction to alcohol, and I prayed, I read the Bible, I prayed the Bible over him, and it just seems like nothing works. And I just don't know if you're familiar with that or not.
Yeah, but I think what you need to do, and I think what you're doing is wonderful, that you're praying over your husband. But I think that you also want to get attention from the standpoint of a healthy, well-balanced church, or from a support group, Alcoholics Anonymous. You have to get into some kind of a program, because good intentions here are simply not sufficient. You have to have a game plan, and that's what I would recommend. You can ferret that out within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church, but there are all kinds of programs that help alcoholics. I mean, certainly prayer is significant, but you need to have a plan.
Okay, thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ken next in Moore, Oklahoma, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Ken.
Hello, Hank. Thank you very much for all you've done for everybody. I've listened to you for about 20 years now.
Well, thank
and
you,
my
Ken.
My question is, what are your thoughts about Jesus, especially during his 40-day fast? Did he think the world, the earth, was round? Or was he still thinking like everybody else?
Well, I think that you need to be very careful with this whole flat earth motif. I mean, this is useful propaganda, because if you think about flat earth idea as a moniker, it was actually popularized by Andrew Dixon White, who was the president and founder of Cornell University. And he decried the regrettable reality that 200 years after Ferdinand Magellan had empirically proven that the earth was round, that Christian fundamentalists persisted in perpetuating flat earth mythology. But that does not correspond to reality. That is propaganda, pure and simple. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to recognize that a lunar eclipse is not produced by a flat earth. So I don't think that the ancients were benighted. They may not have had an accumulation of knowledge that could create an iPad, but certainly they were not foolish. They were able to build pyramids, and there was a lot of sophistication in the ancient world. So the Bible uses anthropomorphic language, in other words, language that we can relate to. It uses anthropomorphism, so it's speaking in that kind of way. It's also using phenomenological language, and we do that today. We say the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. It's phenomenological language. We don't believe in geocentrism. In fact, we don't even believe in heliocentrism anymore. We don't think that the sun is the center of the universe. So the idea today that somehow or other Jesus actually believed in a flat earth, I don't think corresponds to reality. I think it corresponds to a misunderstanding of how to interpret Scripture or read it for all it's worth.
Very good. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. Randy, Pittsburgh, Texas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Randy. Hello, Randy. I guess Randy must have just checked out. Let's go back for a moment to Larry talking about the end of our financial year. I am going to be in studio tomorrow, and I'll probably stay for 2 hours tomorrow. So if you didn't get your question answered today, I will try very, very hard to get your question answered tomorrow. So please call back then. 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. But I think, Larry, it's really important today to spend a few more minutes talking as we close out the show about the end of our financial year. We have two peaks in the year, essentially, June and December. And oftentimes we're eradicating deficits. And there are certainly people that have some of the Lord's resources that can make a difference. They can't take their money with them, but they can send it ahead.
I've always loved this story, Hank, about John D. Rockefeller, at the time one of the wealthiest men in the world, certainly one of the wealthiest in the United States. When news of his death spread in one of his companies, an employee dashed into the office of his boss and said, "Boss, I just heard that the old man is dead. How much did he leave behind?" And the response was, "All of it." You know, no one has ever seen a U-Haul following a hearse. We came into this world with nothing. We leave with nothing. The good news is that we can send it on ahead.
And that's what we're asking people to do by investing in this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach. And sometimes that phrase one-of-a-kind can be overused, but in many ways we are a ministry that is unique in the way God has formulated it, unique for this time as well.
Well, I think it would be helpful if more Christians understood that in the United States today, 23 out of 25 major evangelical denominations are losing ground in terms of attendance. One of the reasons why we're losing ground is because far too many Christians have been exclusively focused on saving souls rather than saving minds. In the battle for souls, if we fail to win the battles for the mind, we will discover, I think, much to our lament, that we have not won the war. We have, in fact, lost the war. I have not done any research on this, and I'm going out on a limb here, but I think it's a solid limb. I bet if we were to look at all of the dollars given to Christian causes of every type, I would bet that not one-tenth of 1 cent of every dollar given to Christian causes goes explicitly to apologetics ministries. I'm persuaded that's one of the reasons why we're losing the battle right now, and why, to turn the tide, more people need to understand the criticality of winning the battle for the mind.
I think there's another point, and you sort of alluded to it. Christianity is not just giving assent to logical truth propositions. It is more than that. It is a life.
Well, it is a life, and we have, I think, unfortunately restricted our understanding of the word metanoia in the Greek. We typically translate that repentance. Repentance, often understood in a very trivial or pedestrian way, of stop doing the bad stuff and turn around and do the good stuff. That is not the primary connotation in the Greek. The primary connotation in the Greek is a transformation of the mind. And if we have Christians whose minds have not been transformed, who are not living the truth in addition to grasping the truth, we will not win the cultural battles that are raging across the United States now.
Dr. Larry Johnston, he is Executive Vice President, Chief Advancement Officer for the Christian Research Institute, and certainly an appropriate time to talk to him as we're just a few days away from closing out our financial year. We're asking you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. One additional point as we're closing out the broadcast today, Larry, the significance of the CRI support team. This is, I just mentioned, 70 people this month joined the CRI support team. This starts building a foundation for financial integrity that is second to none.
The CRI support team is the financial backbone of CRI's ministry. We have 80% of CRI donors give only 20% of all of the gifts. 20% of the donors give 80% of the gifts. And within that 20%, having 80% of the impact are the members of the CRI support team. If you are not yet on board as a member of the CRI support team, we cordially invite you and indeed encourage you, join us, get on board.
And you can do that in a safe, secure fashion, as mentioned before, at equip.org/donate. And when you join the CRI support team as a member, be pleased to send you one of our books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, you can check that out on the web at equip.org. It's as easy as equip.org/donate. And again, the support team is crucial to the ongoing success of the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. This ministry has been raised up by God for just such a time as this. As many of you know, listening into the Bible Answer Man broadcast or reading our magazine or being familiar with our outreaches around the world, we do what we do because life and truth matters. We don't do what we do to be politically correct. There's an audience at the end of the day, and it is an audience of one. We do what we do to be pleasing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Your treasure follows your heart. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As mentioned earlier, I'll be here tomorrow, probably for 2 hours, so you can call in then. As always, 888-ASK-HANK is the number to dial.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth and equip Christians as authentic disciples of Christ. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Did God really command genocide in the Old Testament? Would a kind and loving God ever command the wholesale slaughter of nations? We often avoid reading difficult Old Testament passages that make us squeamish and quickly jump to the enemy-loving, forgiving Jesus of the New Testament. And yet, the question remains. In their book, Did God Really Command Genocide?, Drs. Paul Copan and Matthew Flanagan tackle some of the most confusing and uncomfortable passages of Scripture. Together, they help the Christian and non-believer alike understand the implications of Old Testament warfare passages, as well as address the arguments of atheists who use divine violence in the Bible to undermine belief in God. Call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches and receive Did God Really Command Genocide? Go online at equip.org.
Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. New atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical. But we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.